Good evening. Bear with me a minute. Thank you very much. I must admit, if you do get some repetition, deviation or hesitation, it's nerves getting the better of me. Is that still going on Radio 4, by the way? Yeah? I only listen to the Archers, I must admit, so forgive me. I know, I've owned up to that, but there you go. I'm sure most of you know me, but if not, my name is Sam, and I live locally. I've been coming to this church for many, many years, and it's been absolutely brilliant. Very often, when people introduce themselves, they often like to tell you something about themselves. Unfortunately, some people you wish they didn't tell you about themselves because it's just a little bit too much to take in, but other people are really quiet and don't tell a lot about themselves. But tonight, I have to tell you something. I'm really privileged to be a son of God. I have an amazing privilege to call God my Father. And I can't hide it, to be honest. I really do want to boast about that. And for me, it's not something I normally do, but it is such an amazing privilege. And I was just thinking to myself the other day about that, and I came across this. I'd just like to share this with you before we start, and it's found in Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. You should know it, maybe. But this is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast about their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight. So it's okay to boast if you're a Christian, because you've got something really, really special to boast about. And that is that unique and amazing relationship that you have with a God. You can call him Father. And that, for me, is just an awesome thing to say. I was thinking about this issue of Father, and a few things came to me recently that I stumbled across that I wanted to share with you. It's quite interesting. It's a quote, and it's something that William Wordsworth wrote. I don't know if you've come across it, but I thought it was quite remarkable. It's this: Father, to God himself, we cannot give a holier name. Our Queen has all these amazing titles. I can't tell you, but I think does she own a sixth of the world or something like that? All these amazing titles, and yet no one would go up to her and say, Mother, I have a God who is far greater than the Queen, and I can go to him and say, Father. This was something else I heard recently. It was from Martin Luther. He was asked, what is one of the most important things you've seen in your Christian walk? And he said this. He said, I will spend eternity trying to understand our Father. So it is such an amazing statement. And for me, it's something I'm going to boast in, because I have that unique and special relationship with a God who wants me to call him Father. So you and I have a Father who is 100% secure. He'll deal with the trouble in our lives. He'll help us through those situations. If we could have possibly John 16:33 back up just for a second. I just want to read that again to you quickly, because that's where we're starting from. Tonight's a little bit of a journey, okay? Bear with me. We're going to start, but we're going to go somewhere else. And in John 16:33, we read this. In this world, there will be trouble. In this world, there will be trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. The word world is used twice. One is the trouble that we face in the world. But on the second occasion, it's overcome. The world is overcome. It's dealt with. So tonight, it's going to sound a big title, but I just felt I wanted to talk to you about trouble, really, and the fact that God provides a remedy for those situations we're in, those difficulties. And it happened to me some months ago, quite a long time ago. I just came across a verse, and it just had such an impact. And I did what I don't normally do. I shared it with someone else. And you know what? They came and said, wow, that's just what I needed today. And the more I thought about this verse, the more it meant something to me. And I kind of sat down at the computer and I typed away some notes and some thoughts. And that was some months ago. And that forms the basis of what I want to share with you tonight. I've just got to say that I feel God really put some words in my heart, and I feel that the Spirit took hold of those words and has shown me something that I want to share with you that I'm quite excited about. So tonight, God's remedy to deal with the tough times. It's a huge topic, I know, but it's a remedy. What is a remedy? A prescription? Well, it's something that is an answer to a problem. You go to a doctor, he writes you a prescription. Some people call it a remedy. In a sense, why would you look for a remedy or a prescription if you didn't have some problems, something to deal with? Well, I'll tell you why we have a remedy, because we just read it in John 16:33. In this world, there will be trouble. And God deals with all the bases. He covers all the options. He's simply not going to allow us to live in a world with trouble without providing an answer to that trouble, is he? It's obvious. God could not do that. So that's the basis of what I'm going to talk to you about. First of all, I'd like to tell you a story, though. Some years ago, whilst on holiday in France, we were camping, and the guy next to me managed to fold his ankle over really badly whilst playing football. And I tell you what, he was really hobbling. And this ankle was like a balloon. And the next morning, it was so swollen he could hardly walk. And he was encouraged to go and see a doctor. The funny thing for me is he was a chap from South Wales, and going to see a French doctor, I thought, well, neither of them have English as their first language. I'm sure they'll manage. So off he went. And he arrived at the doctor's, and just like we do in England, he waited patiently. He went with the conviction to go and see the doctor, and he waited. Eventually he went in, and he showed his ankle to the doctor. The doctor looked at it, prodded it, poked it, muttered under his breath, I don't know, Waterloo or something, and said to my friend, I'll give you a prescription. So he wrote a prescription out. My friend took it to the chemist shop, and he thought, great, I'm going to get something to relieve the pain, something to remove the inflammation. This will be okay. So he waited. After a few minutes, there was a bit of bumping and banging, and the chemist came to the counter and put two crutches down in front of him. Yeah, my friend looked at these crutches and thought, okay, that's not really what I want. I want something to get rid of this problem now. But he took the crutches, and that evening, when I saw him on the campsite, he was going around on these crutches, hobbling around, and I said, how are you doing? He said, you know what? This was perfect. I really had a problem. I wanted it to go away, but these crutches mean I can cope with it. I've got to say, this was the right prescription for me. So this chap went to a doctor, waited patiently, was given a prescription, and you know what? It helped him to cope with the trouble. The pain didn't go like that. The swelling didn't disappear, but he was given the support. And when I heard that, well, I was there, and it all happened in front of me, and I suppose I thought about it because I laughed at the crutches. I thought that wouldn't happen in England, would it? But now that's just a beautiful illustration of something that happened to me that I saw some time ago. Now, the first point that I'm going to take you to is, it should come up now, it's point number one, which is, oh, by the way, I took some advice from our pastors. Matt said, be yourself, just relax. And Alwyn said, this was some time ago, go for 3 points. So we're going to go for the 3 points tonight. So the first one I came up with is this, be joyful in hope, okay? Be joyful in hope. And the word hope really is the most amazing thing that you can think of here. It's a theme that runs consistently throughout our Bible. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you commit yourself to a truly amazing God, then you have a hope. And you have an amazing hope. And as we go through tonight, I'm going to be putting up quite a lot of verses. But I don't want you to feel you need to turn to them all, because there is quite a few. But in the back corner, the tech team, Johnny, is going to try and keep up with me as I go along. So please don't feel that you need to turn to the verses. It's great to do that, I know, but they should come up there as we go through and we can read them, because tonight I must admit that I want the Bible to do the talking, not me. I want you to hear what God would say, not me. So we've just talked about this hope that we have through the person of Jesus Christ, that God provides this hope for us. I wanted to take you, first of all, to 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4, which says this. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." I mean, if you just dwell on that for a few minutes and think about what you're being told there, this inheritance will never, ever perish or fade or disappear away. And the hope is through a living hope. And that is just so remarkable. And let me just take you to Job 11, verse 18. And it says this, "You will be secure because there is hope. You will look about you and you will take your rest in safety." And hope, and I must admit, for many years in my life, we used to talk about hope, a hope of salvation. And I often used to struggle a little bit to really understand how that could be the case. But the hope we have in God is actually security or safety, okay? But I have to say to you that hope, and this was a problem I had, can almost seem weak and unconvincing. Let me give you some examples. Many of you know that I actually have four or five minis, old-fashioned minis at home. Sometimes I sit in my mini, I put the key in the ignition, I hope it will start. I support a certain football club, and I hope that they're going to win something. Well, I've waited many seasons for that to happen. I enjoy my rugby, and I hope that England will beat Wales. It didn't happen. But then I expect the Welsh hope they're going to win the World Cup for the first time. We all hope. But that hope is a very different hope to what we're talking about here. And I have to say to you, it is something that I personally used to think, why do we talk about a hope in God? Surely that's kind of not that reassuring. You know what I mean? And possibly some of you have thought about this as well. But it's something that took a long time for me to kind of turn over in my mind and understand why. And well, the hope in God is different. It is different because it's a hope in a perfect track record. Okay, God has been so consistent with his promises. He's dealt with those issues. His promises have been consistent. They haven't been broken. They haven't changed. And in that, you realize that you can put your hope in something. God promises throughout his word, and they've not been broken. And I just wanted to take you back to this promise, right back in Genesis 3, verses 15. It says this, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Now, why would I read that to you at this point when I'm talking about God's promises? Well, God is telling us what would happen. Creation was perfect. There was no trouble, and then sin entered. And as I said earlier, God provided an answer. He provided a promise right back at the beginning. Go to your Bible, start at Genesis, follow it all the way through. It is consistent. So that was a promise that was provided, and God was telling us what would happen. He was telling us what would happen with Jesus and the profounding result that it would have at the cross of Calvary. Hope in God is a hope that's without doubt. It's secure. And we call it a hope, and this is something that I've thought about, and we call it a hope for the simple reason that we are the weak part. We live in a world that seeks to pull us away from God, but we have a hope in an absolutely perfect God. So that hope that he offers, you need to reach out of and take hold of, because that hope is the most amazing thing that you can have. And let me give you an illustration. If someone's offering you a present, do you do this? Do you put your hands in your pocket? Can you imagine a child doing that when there's a gift being offered? What they do is this, their hands go out to receive that gift because it's a gift that's being offered. It's there for you. If you don't have that hope, you need to receive that hope that is offered through Jesus Christ. And the next part of that point is an odd word, I know. Be joyful in that hope, okay? It seems strange, doesn't it? But you know what? It's not needing to be joyful. It's a want. If you have that hope in your life, you will want to be joyful. The thrill of it should live through your life. It should be etched in your face, the fact that you have a hope in a truly amazing God. So the first point that I want to say to you tonight, in part of the remedy that God has, is be joyful in hope. Be joyful in the hope that he offers you. The second one then is be patient. I have to tell you, this is really a hard one. We live in a world of instant. You can sit there. Probably some of you could get your phones out now and you could probably book a holiday somewhere. You could instantly buy a new TV and have it delivered tomorrow. There's lots of things you can do right now. We live in an instant world, instant answers, instant soup. You can have what you want. But patience in times of trouble is a challenge. And it is something that naturally we are really going to struggle to do. And the thing is that our patience is in God's perfect timing. Derek this morning shared that with you so clearly and so well, if you were there, that God's timing is perfect. And he pointed out from the study in Timothy how clearly God's timing is in control. And I want you to think about that for a few minutes. And I'm wondering if we can look at Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. And we read this one here. It's this, you'll know it, I'm sure. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And I love this one. It's in Acts 1, verse 7. Acts 1, verse 7. This one really hit me recently. And it goes like this, very simply. He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority." It's not for me to know the dates and the times that the Father has set. It's not for you to know the dates. You're in difficulties. You've clearly read with me in John 16 that in this world you will face trouble. God is saying, "I've provided a hope for you." And now he's saying, "Be patient." And instinctively, that is not how we want to be. We want to deal with things. We want to try and wrap it up. It's like my friend, he wanted a tablet to take the pain away. But that wasn't what was provided in his situation. God is very much in control, and he will sort out the timing for us. But we do want an instant answer when we're in trouble, and that can be so difficult. You know, when we're in trouble, it's difficult. There are problems. We can be really driven to try and do it by ourselves. We can almost push other people out of the way. We can ignore friends and family. We can pull back from going into church and meeting with other Christians. This problem consumes us and we just want to deal with it ourselves. But you see, if you try and deal with it, you're going to be very, very vulnerable. Because me, Sam, on my own, I can't do it. And you on your own, you can't do it. So it's very important that you accept that God says, be patient. And the only reason he says that is not to make it harder or more difficult for you, but because he controls the timing. He is in control. The other thing that I realized when I thought about this is that we're all individuals. We're all very, very different. Yeah, we're all humans, but we're all very, very different. And I realized that we're all made differently. We all have different characteristics. You know what? We're all unique. But I'm not just going to leave it there. I want to just show you this. In Isaiah 64, verse 8, we read this. Listen to this, O Lord. You are our Father. The word Father, you'll notice, has appeared in a lot of the readings tonight. You are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Just one little word at the end, the work of your hand. It should excite you. God made you, okay? But he also made you totally unique, totally different. And to me, that's a really important point, because when you think about the fact that we have difficulties, but we're all unique, we are going to cope with things in different ways. God has made us, we're all unique, yet God says he knows all about us. When I was on holiday, which was back in July, I went to, we were in Turkey actually, and we went to a pottery. It was quite interesting, and they make pottery with quartz dust. So it's like bone china, and the chap was, he spun some things on a wheel, and you could see them all lined up on the shelves. There were these pots, they were all the same, identical, all handmade on the wheel. I guess if you look closely, you'd see different little marks and different things about them. But when he'd finished, there was about six large pots on a table, and he went up to one of them, and he struck the side of it with his knuckle, and it made a ringing noise, just like a church bell, this kind of bone china. It's remarkable. He struck the next one, it made a similar ringing noise, and the next one, and the next one. And it was a lovely sound to listen to, but the thing is, whilst all those pots looked the same, they all made a different sound. They all had a different note. You could say they all had a unique voice. Clearly says in what I've just read there that we were made by the hand of God. We're all unique. We're all different. We all have different voices. And when you think about facing troubles and having to be patient, you can realize how difficult it will be and how as individuals we will do things differently. But God knows us intimately, and that is the important thing to remember. And this verse will tell you that as well. It's in Matthew 10, verses 30. And just think about a God who would say this, that even the very numbers of hairs on our head are numbered. God knows us so intimately, so uniquely. And for me, that is just such an amazing reassurance. Facing trouble is never, never easy. We're all unique. This was an illustration that I saw as well when I was putting these things together. If you're in a rubber dinghy on the sea and a wave is coming towards you, that little dinghy will be very small. That wave will be very intimidating. It will be very large. And you can see the picture in a small boat with this big wave coming. You are going to be very, very frightened and intimidated. But as that little dinghy goes over the other side of that wave, you will be in calmer water. And as that's happening, you might look to your left and you might see a huge ocean liner going along. There might be someone clutching onto the rails at the front of that boat. But they will be going over the same wave as you've gone over. They may hardly even see it. They may hardly even feel it. But you have both gone over the same wave. And it's just an illustration that came to me. You see, whether you're on a dinghy or on the liner, you're still facing the same seas. It's the same problem that you're facing. But just because one appears to have coped better than the other does not mean that one person is better than the other. The dinghy and the liner cope with the same waves, but in different waves. You're unique. God made you that way. He's also said that he will provide what you need to cope with difficulties. Some people will struggle and they will find it very difficult. Some people will appear to cope much more easily. God provides what we need to cope with those difficult situations. But just remember this, if you have a hope, then you trust in God, and despite the problems, the difficulties you face, you need to realize that God says, I am in control. I am in control. I have to tell you this, patience in a time of trouble is really tough. It's not going to be easy. But it's what God says. If I can look at these words in Micah 7, verse 7. I did say it was a little bit of a journey looking through our Bible tonight. But Micah 7, verse 7, I just love these words here. But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. My God will hear me. It's just such confidence, isn't it? That my God will hear me. It's such a personal use of English. My God will hear me. We may struggle, but we have to be patient in the problems that we face in our lives. But if you have your hope in a God and a confidence in him, then your patience needs to be through him. God's timing is perfect. The third point is be constant or faithful in prayer. He assures us that he's in control. And we just read in Micah 7, verse 7, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. But I have to tell you something. God can only hear us if we talk to him. When we face troubles, we often share or talk to someone. We talk to a close friend, a relative, a husband, wife, someone we know and trust. We talk to them. I tell you, what is more obvious than talking to God your Father when you're in difficulties? Be constant or faithful in prayer. It's the point that we're looking at. I would like to take you to Colossians 4, verse 2. It says this, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. And 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. God wants you to talk to him, desperately wants you to talk to him. Prayer is vital, and he's made this privilege available to us. He wants us to use it. Sometimes we've probably done this. Perhaps with children or someone at work, we've actually got a little bit fed up because they keep whinging, they keep asking, they keep pressing us. But God isn't like that. He isn't going to say, go away. I don't want your prayers. I don't want to hear from you. Our God is totally different. It's the opposite. He wants us to be constantly in prayer. It's mentioned in Psalm 141 that David says that the prayers should be as a sweet-smelling incense before God. And in Revelation, the same thought comes through. God wants our prayers, a sweet-smelling incense, something he wants and wants to hear. He isn't going to turn us away. So God wants us to pray, and he wants us to pray continually. In other words, God will not get tired of our prayers. So let's recap here. We've said in the beginning that in this world there will be trouble. God has said the following. He says this. Be joyful in the hope that you have. Be patient in the trouble that you're facing. Be patient and be constant in prayer. And if you look in Romans 12, verse 12, it is just one verse. Just one verse. You can read that verse. You can remember that verse easily. And you can grab hold of it. And you can tuck it right into your heart. And you can say, this is the reassurance that God gives me when I'm facing difficulties. Don't just keep it for yourself. Share it to other people. Be encouragers, because that's what God wants us to do. I just share one final thing. When I was in Reading as a kid growing up, I had my first car. Yes, it was a Mini. Yes, it broke down regularly. And I'm very grateful for a man in our church who was a good mechanic. I remember ringing him up in desperation. I had a problem. It wouldn't start. He said, Sam, go back to basics. Is there a battery? Has it got charge in it? Is there fuel in the tank? Is there a spark at the spark plugs? He said, if you've got all those things, it will start. Derek said this morning, keep it simple. Don't look for things that aren't there. Just be reassured. Be joyful in the hope you have. Be patient and be constant. Be constant in prayer. That's the message that I wanted to share with you that I saw some time ago.